KQED.
Welcome back to Forum. Scott Schaefer here today for Michael Krasny. And for the rest of this hour, we're talking about an audit that puts a very unflattering spotlight on a state tax agency, in particular the Board of Equalization, which collects about $60 billion in taxes each year. Now, the BOE was in hot water earlier this year. In fact, the legislature stripped the board of most of its authority after other audits found misuse of state money and state workers, along with other problems. Well, this new audit finds that the Board of Equalization is, or was, kind of being run like a family business, with one in five employees there working with relatives. And that raises all kinds of nepotism questions. And joining us now to talk about it is Adam Ashton. He's a reporter with the Sacramento Bee who heads up the Bee's State Worker blog. Adam, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Good morning.
Good morning to you. Well, first of all, the Board of Equalization is not an agency that rolls off the tongues of most people. Tell us a little bit more about what the agency does and how much power it had.
So the Board of Equalization was created. It's in the state constitution. It goes back to 1879, and it was voted by an initiative. The purpose was to equalize property taxes. There was a perception in the state that wealthy landowners in the foothills, the mining counties, had bribed their assessors, so they were paying less of the share they owed for taxes. So from that root, simple purpose, equalize property taxes, it became kind of a hermit crab, and it collected different programs over a century. So it gets sales tax, alcohol taxes, fire fees, insurance commission, insurance taxes.
Recently
it was charged with developing how to collect cannabis taxes. Throughout this history, people continually want to dissolve it because they think it's a sign of bad government. The board eventually has power both to collect taxes and to weigh in on tax disputes, and that's what led us to this moment.
So this earlier audit that I alluded to found that the BOE had misallocated, I think, $48 million in state revenue, couldn't explain it. That's a lot of money. How did things get so bad? I mean, you said it was kind of a hermit crab. I loved your description of that it just continued to kind of move along and grow. But, how did it get to the point? Is it just the fact that it was a sleepy agency that didn't get the kind of oversight it deserved?
It absolutely was a sleepy agency until about the 1980s. Until about the 1980s, you'd have people on the board serve for 30 and 40 years. In the 1980s, it became kind of a platform to plan your next political move. And you would see board members have more political-looking events. So, like, come meet with this board member in this community and learn how to pay taxes for your winery or something like that. The board started having a couple board members had these kind of women empowerment events, which did not look like they were related to collecting taxes. They looked like motivational speakers, talks about desk yoga. These things look inappropriate. That drew a lot of oversight. There started to be stories in the press that were pointing out those odd events, and also stories in the press that would pointed to bundled political donations and
Just describe what that is, bundled political contributions.
Members of the Board of Equalization have really strict campaign finance limits because at the end of the day, they are the final say on your tax dispute. So you can't give them more than $250 and have them make a decision on a case that you might have. In 2014, the LA Times had an interesting story about companies that would kind of amass $8,000 to $10,000 in donations for candidates by hiding them under the limit one at a time. Bloomberg BNA had great stories, interesting stories, showing that one board member had a foundation that he and his wife had created. They were no longer running it on paper, but they had nonetheless created it, and they would have behested payments. So businesses would give money to their foundation, and then the Horton family would use those contributions to host events that kind of blurred the line between Board of Equalization work and their political work. Those were interesting stories in Bloomberg. And then last year, my predecessor on this beat, John Ortiz, had a really hard-hitting story that showed one board member had spent about $130,000 redecorating his office. So this is like a crescendo of stories building up, calling attention to what appears to be mismanagement at the Board of Equalization. The state controller about 2 years ago had an audit that revealed the misallocated tax revenue. Last year, the board started to get serious. How do we fix ourselves before the legislature blows us up, basically? And they called in several audits, including that one from the finance department that you mentioned.
Yeah. Well, that's a good time to bring in Assemblymember Phil Ting from San Francisco. He chairs the Assembly Budget Committee and has been very involved in calling for these audits. Assemblymember Ting, thanks for joining us. Are you with us? I can hear you there. Okay, thanks very much. And you're on with Adam Ashton from the Sacramento Bee, by the way. Tell us, so we're getting the history of the Board of Equalization and how things got to be so mismanaged. Tell us about this most recent revelation that something like one in five employees work with a relative at the Board of Equalization. What does that tell you?
Well, I think it's very shocking that the board has so many people who are related to each other. It's unfortunate because it's another series of issues with the board, and I think it really validates the decision the legislature and the governor made to really do some significant reform and move almost 90% or 80% of the department into a new department for tax and fee administration. What we saw is we saw an agency that really couldn't manage itself, couldn't self-correct, had no fiscal controls. I'll just give you one example. In the budget process, they came and asked for 100 new positions, even though they had 600 vacancies. So you had sort of an agency that was totally out of touch, but yet was extraordinarily important to the state. They bring in over $60 billion of revenue. So imagine how much more money could actually be collected if they were just a little better run.
So the legislature stripped the BOE of a lot of its authority and created this new Department of Tax and Fee Administration, which I believe took effect July 1st. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
So I could imagine an agency of such size and such importance that there would be some, you know, transition problems. You know, that's not an easy fix to make. What's the status of that transition now?
Well, we have a secretary from government operations who's just been fabulous, hit the ground running, has been working very, very closely with designing the transition and really moving people over. The biggest piece of it that still is in the works is the judicial function. We have a Office of Tax Appeals, as you know, Scott, taxpayers who were upset by a franchise tax board appeal could appeal directly to the Board of Equalization. However, sometimes appeals took, you know, over 2 years or even longer to actually get heard. So what we wanted to do was speed up that process, have independent judicial review from tax appeals judges, and that's in the process of getting put together and will go into effect in January.
So with that new agency, a lot of these employees have been moved over, but it's they're still all related to each other, all those folks got moved over.
Yeah, they are. I mean, what we didn't want to do was to completely blow up the agency without taking further review. But now that you've seen these audits, obviously with new leadership, I think you're going to see some really significantly stronger management. What we'd heard is, you know, that there was a lot of loyalty to board members or management folks. And so with a lot of those not moving over to the agency, obviously we hope that we can really have an agency that's much more loyal to the people of California.
Now, as Adam mentioned just before you joined us, the Board of Equalization is kind of a sleepy agency. It does have, I think, five elected regional representatives, one of whom was Betty Yee, who is now the state controller. Fiona Ma is running, who is now on the Board of Equalization, is running for state treasurer. I mean, these are your colleagues. You know them personally. They're from San Francisco, actually. Do they bear any responsibility for the problems at the Board of Equalization?
Well, and Adam knows this, and the B knows this. This agency, we've been talking about reforming this agency for over 90 years. Structurally, the way it was created, there have just been issues over and over the years. Governor Wilson tried to merge the organization, Governor Schwarzenegger. So these issues really are not tied to four or five individual board members. This has been a systemic problem that really was structurally created by the voters.
So who is accountable then? Who should be held accountable?
Well, ultimately, I mean, the board members are accountable, and plus the executive director is accountable. But what we saw is really a compounding effect over the years that has really led the agency to be very significantly out of touch, unresponsive, had policies in place, but pretty much what we found through numerous audits, they weren't following any of these policies.
That's Phil Ting, Assembly member from San Francisco. He is the chair of the Assembly Budget Committee, called for this and other audits on the Board of Equalization. He's with us for the rest of this half hour, along with Adam Ashton, a reporter for the Sacramento Bee. This is a half hour segment, so let's open up the phone lines right now at 866-733-6786 is the number to call if you have a question or comment. 866-733-6786. You can also email your comments or questions. It's forum@kqed.org. Adam Ashton, in your reporting, I'm wondering if you have found what are your thoughts about what Assemblyman Ting just said about accountability, and you know, how much of it should land at the feet of those elected BOE members?
The two members that you mentioned, Controller Yi and Member Ma, were two of the people who were calling for audits, and it appeared trying to get ahead of these issues. It was really fascinating this spring watching some of the legislative hearings on the Board of Equalization audits. Assemblyman Ting led a budget committee hearing where they were reviewing the audit. He was questioning leaders of the organization, and he was actually getting emails from Board of Equalization employees saying, "This person's lying to you. They're not being truthful." And then Assemblyman Ting would read the question to the deputy director of the Board of Equalization. At a subsequent hearing on the Senate side, David Gao, the executive director of the Board of Equalization, actually said to the Assembly, to the Senate committee, "I've been threatened with my job. Someone has made it some kind of an implied threat that I could be fired for not going with this." He never identified that person, but really there's only five people that can make that threat to the executive director of the Board of Equalization. So that was another really dramatic moment leading up to the June decision to strip the Board of Equalization all the way down to its bare minimum constitutional function.
And Assemblyman Ting, let me just come back to this question of the nepotism and the so many people at this agency being related to each other. What does that tell you? How does it get to that point? Is it that, as you suggested earlier, that openings were not being publicly noticed so that people didn't have an opportunity to apply before, you know, friends and relatives were hired?
Noticed, and again, I don't know the details of that, but there was a call center that was created in Culver City that was off the books. People didn't even know about it.
What kind of a call center?
It was a call center to take in, I believe, taxpayer issues. It was sort of off the books. And so what we found is we found dealings and people trying to cover up things just constantly. And you know, to some extent, you know, I don't know how much of it was over the years or how much of it was just the last couple years, but really people who are just empire building and kind of bringing in people. And that's why it's shocking to see the number. But to some extent, based on everything that, you know, Adam reported and everything that we looked at through audits, that it's not surprising that these types of things were happening, which is also why we were totally justified to go do this very significant reform. The reforms that we did have been called for again, almost 90 years. So it really took this avalanche of issues to really make sure that we seriously address them.
I wonder, you know, what you're describing there, that off the books call center in Culver City, that kind of thing. I mean, does this rise potentially to the level of criminal wrongdoing? And do you think that the Attorney General should be looking at this?
Well, the Attorney General is investigating this. Yes, I'm sorry to cut you off.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Adam,
yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah. No, there is an AG investigation at the Board of Equalization. It's hard to say where it'll go or what outcome will happen, but people at the Board of Equalization have been interviewed by agents from the DOJ.
Phil, did you want to add anything?
Well, I was going to say, you know, as you know, the FBI doesn't announce their investigations. I wouldn't be shocked if the FBI was investigating this.
Wow. Well, we haven't had one of those in a couple of years up in Sacramento. I guess we're due for one. Let's go to the phone lines again. The number to call is 866-733-6786. Dick in Petaluma, you're on. Welcome.
Thank you very much. I just finished an audit for a year with the Board of Equalization. I made a mistake in collecting my sales tax revenue for my business. And when I was audited, I met with them, and I realized my mistake, told them I owed them about $38,000, would be happy to pay it. They spent exactly 12 months going over my audit, and when I got the final audit papers, it showed that my auditor had spent 245 hours on the audit 1 year and had come up with a number 150% higher than mine. I complained all the way to everybody in Sacramento. They took a look at the numbers and said, "You're right. You only owed us $38,000. And so I'm wondering, I think the state probably spent five times what I owed to possibly collect, and just the biggest waste of time, the worst performance by a state employee in public agency, and when it was all said and done, one of the bosses in Santa Rosa said, yeah, the woman who trained your auditor didn't do a very good job. We got rid of her, and we probably really need to retrain the one who is your auditor. Hmm. These people tortured me for 12 months with threats and everything else, and ended up with the exact same number I told them on the very first day we met.
And Phil Tang, when you hear a story like that, what goes through your mind? I mean, someone like Dick doesn't really have a recourse because they're the final arbiter, aren't they, of these disputes?
Well, that's a problem. That's why we moved, again, to judicial review into an independent agency where you could actually have that separate department and, insulated from the rest of the department. It's a very upsetting, and when I was the assessor recorder, when I would hear about these issues from taxpayers, I would really try to address them as a manager as soon as possible. So this is extraordinarily upsetting to hear this kind of behavior out of the agency. But again, it sheds the light of how mismanaged it's been.
In light of the audits and the information that has come to light in the last year or two about the Board of Equalization, might there be any opportunity for people like the caller to go back? I mean, I realize he actually ended up having to pay exactly what he was originally assessed, but, will there be a review of some of the decisions that got made during this period of time?
Well, I think what you're going to see is with our new secretary, with the new agency leadership, there's going to be a top-to-bottom review. And frankly, based on the Department of Finance audit, all these different audits, there frankly needs to be action. I mean, I think for years we've known there have been problems, and I think the time is over for talking about the problems, but really time for action, which is really why we took the huge initial action of putting a whole new set of leaders in charge of the agency. And now what we expect is those new leaders to actually start cleaning things up.
And so those folks are now accountable to who?
They're accountable to the Secretary of Government Operations, who's accountable to the governor.
Okay. Again, the number to call, 866-733-6786. We're talking about this disturbing audit, or series of audits, really, of the Board of Equalization, the state's largest tax-collecting agency. Let's go now to San Jose. And Brian, welcome.
Santa Rosa.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
I wanted to make sure. okay. So a couple things. Nepotism, where do we find that? We find that in third world countries. It's more the norm than the exception. You find it in South and Central America. Here we have nepotism in the state of California. How do we know that it isn't more widespread than just the Board of Equalization? I suspect it is very widespread.
That is
How large is the Board of Equalization? How many people are there? Who are they? Naming names? Public shaming is an actual useful function. Yet I look online. I see no names. No names associated with this investigation.
Well, let me just bring Phil Ting into this. I think there's about 5,000 employees, or there were, right? Is that correct?
About 4,700 employees, yeah.
And most of those got transferred over to this new agency?
That's right. And the audit identifies about 800 or so individuals. But the caller's right to be concerned. I mean, that's why we have a civil service process, because they're supposed to be taking exams. They're supposed to be going through a fairly rigid meritocratic process. So my guess is that, people purposely found ways to circumvent that process. I don't feel like it's that widespread. I mean, having run a city agency and having run, having come from city government as well as being familiar with state government, the civil service process is almost known for its rigidity. So it's actually a lot of people feel like it's inflexible. So it's actually interesting to see or hear how people might have gotten around it.
Adam, would you have anything to add to that? Do you have it from the emails and letters you get, phone calls from people out there in state agency land?
So the first thing I want to point out is the audit is not yet complete. I based my story on people who've had updates on the audit. We have not seen the full document. I couldn't name names. I have had an emails that name names, and the relationships are mother-son, father-son, somebody's managing somebody's daughter's girlfriend or boyfriend. I mean, it doesn't look good. the civil service process is actually difficult to figure out. So just having someone guide you through the process of how to apply for a state job really could be an advantage, and that could just be someone looking out to help a young person they know get started in their career. I don't know how it got to 20%. That's pretty remarkable.
Yeah. All right, Brian, thanks for the call. Let's go now to Paulette, who I think is in San Jose. Welcome.
Thank you. I agree with your guest statement. I think you're just scratching the surface with the Board of Equalization. But my actual comment was, and I don't support him, but this is just the type of problem that citizens are feeling is what got Trump elected. People are tired of having this type of dysfunctional county, city, and state operations, dysfunctional at best and corrupt at the top level.
Well, let me ask you.
And I think Californians and Democrats need to, you know, you need to, Democrats need to wake up. You know, citizens are tired of this.
Paulette, thanks for the comment. What are the protections in place, Phil Ting, for to prevent? I mean, you said you think this is not widespread, but, you know, let's say there are some other agencies, large or small, where this kind of thing is going on. What recourse do people have, either who work in the agency or who have come into contact with the agency, as our earlier caller did? I mean, we have like a whistleblower protection program, right?
Right. And I think that's why, as Adam described, it was sort of, I'd never seen it before when I was holding my budget hearing on the Department of Finance audit on the Board of Equalization. It was shocking to hear so many, or, you know, to get so many responses from BOE employees who were calling my office, emailing my office anonymously, giving tips. Clearly, I've never seen that before, so it was a fairly extraordinary situation. As someone who's hired people out of the civil service process, it is very rigid. It is very difficult to manipulate. But as Adam said, because of the difficulty and because of the rigidity, people who know the system and know how to, you know, how to apply here and know when the job listings go live, I think there is an advantage to it, so that we need to probably take a look at. But again, I think this is a very extraordinary circumstance that in my 5 years in the legislature, I've never seen.
You're listening to Forum. We're talking with Assemblyman Phil Ting and reporter Adam Ashton from the Sacramento Bee. This is a fundraising period for KQED Public Radio. For more information about how to support KQED, go to kqed.org. I'm Scott Schaefer. And we go back to the phones now, and it's Linda in San Anselmo. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for taking the call. I'm an accountant, and I've had a million clients over the years because I'm a freelancer. I work for myself, and I actually went through an audit also, like the previous caller. And to add, I've never been so terrified of anybody in my life. And I told my clients, I'd rather go through an IRS audit any day than go through an audit with the State Board of Equalization. And it was, you know, innocent mistake. We were paying sales tax in different counties, so of course it was calculated differently. They were absolutely ruthless and terrifying. Well, the one person anyway.
Can you give like an example that comes to mind? Like what was so ruthless and so terrifying?
She wouldn't listen, and you know, and everything. She wouldn't listen, I guess, and terrifying in that we were scared of what was going to happen. I can't really describe it better than that. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Phil Ting, I'm wondering, this sort of raises the specter of abuse of power. I mean, these folks do have a lot of power, these auditors and the people who hear these appeals. What assurances, what kind of policies and training can be put in place so that, you know, people like the caller don't have those terrifying experiences?
What we heard is, you know, all these policies are in place. They seem to have a policy for everything. None of the policies were just being followed. So that means that we need significant management. It is horrible and terrifying to hear about these kinds of situations. And if you saw some of the emails and the feedback from different employees, many of the employees sort of live in terror themselves. So again, what we need is we need new management, and that's what we put in place. You need people who are actually going to follow these policies, get people trained on these policies, and make sure that everybody's following these policies. And what you saw was you saw an agency kind of run amok, just how the agency related to the legislature. You could see how it was. And I think what's interesting, Scott, is you can contrast this agency with the Franchise Tax Board. And the Franchise Tax Board is considered one of the better run, if not one of the best run agencies in the state system. You don't hear the same kind of complaints. Again, they're doing income taxes. So again, this is not an easy issue. People aren't happy about paying the income taxes. But you just don't hear the same kind of feedback or the same kind of complaints about the Franchise Tax Board and how they're run and sort of the issues that are happening at the BOE are not happening at the FTB.
Did the legislature consider sort of merging those two?
We absolutely did. We absolutely did. That was one of the issues on the table. Ultimately, we thought that was probably too much to bite off at this one particular juncture, but who knows down the road that could be a possibility.
All right, let's go to the phones again.
Something?
Yeah, sure, Adam, go ahead.
The complaints you're getting from people who have had bad experiences with audits actually is a reason that people that did not want to reform the BOE would bring up. And their argument was someone with a bad audit or a bad experience is going to get better service from a elected official's constituent services staff than they would from bureaucrats. They made that argument very late in the process, but they brought up cases like those that say, hey, this was a problem, and the political member's staff might have intervened to resolve it earlier. So just want to bring that up.
Yeah.
Well, what's interesting about that point, and Adam makes a great point, is you still have an elected board, and they still have their staffs, and they can still do that. They also have the recourse of contacting any of their legislative representatives to help resolve issues. So, again, you know, a lot of my constituent casework is around employment development department, DMV, those types of state agency issues.
Carla, we're really short on time. You're our last caller. If you could make it quick, we'd all appreciate it.
Sure. I thank you for having this program. I worked for one of the 21 regional centers throughout the state of California, and one of the most nepotism is rampant. One of the most egregious was that in our section in our department, we're setting the rate for the homes where you have your disabled adult go to live was a woman who was related to many of the homes, many, two or three, of the homes.
Yeah.
She was paying the rates for her own family.
Yeah, Carla. Yeah, I think that's it's a great point. We are short on time, so let me just see if we can get a comment on that, Phil Ting, or more general. I mean, the regional centers for the disabled. I mean, what other areas of government could be ripe for some sort of an audit to look at nepotism and other issues?
Well, again, I mean, we're always protecting that kind of issue. That's why we have the civil service process. And again, if the caller wants to, you know, reach out to my office and give us that information, we're happy to take a look at it.
All right. That's Assemblyman Phil Ting. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. And he is the chair of the California Assembly Budget Committee, San Francisco Assemblyman. And Adam Ashton, reporter for the Sacramento Bee. He heads up the Bee's state worker blog. Adam, thanks to you as well.
Thank you.
I'm Scott Schaefer here today for Michael Krasny, and we appreciate your listening. Next hour, we'll be talking with the filmmaker about a new documentary about the Oakland Police Department. Stay with us.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation. And by a generous gift from Jan Schremm and Maria Minetti Schremm, founders of the Minetti Schremm Museum of Art at UC Davis, who believe that all people deserve access to education and culture to enrich a lifetime of exploration and learning.